Amen. I appreciate that special. What a beautiful song. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one right there in the pew in front of you. And get together there with your family around the Word of God. What a blessing. Try that one more time. We can get together right there around the Word of God with our family. What a blessing. Amen. Isn't it? What a privilege we have. We don't have to hide. We don't have to be like churches in other countries today where it's illegal to even have a Bible. It's illegal to preach the gospel. Churches have to be underground. They have to hide. There are countries today where people have gathered to worship God and they can't all show up at once. They have to spread out their arrival time over about 6 hours. Many of them walking miles to get to some place and sneak into a building or a basement somewhere, or even out in the woods somewhere. They have to sneak there individually in small groups to get there to hide so they can get together with their families and other believers to worship God. And we get to just show up. Not to hide, not to sneak, and we are blessed today to be here in the United States of America. We ought to take advantage of the blessings that God has given us. And I'm so glad that you're here today. We're studying through the book of Hebrews, verse by verse, and this morning we come to Faith at Jericho, Hebrews 11, verses 30 and 31. If you're able, we'll stand together to honor the Word of God this morning. And we have been learning a lot about faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God. Because if you're going to come to God, you must believe that He is. In other words, you got to believe that God is who He says He is. You have to believe what He says about Himself in His Word, and you must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if you will seek God today by faith, He will reward you. He will bless you greatly. And so let's open our hearts to the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Hebrews 11 and verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful day, for the privilege and the freedom that we have to come and worship you today. Thank you for all who have come to sing your praises, to lift up prayers to you, and Lord, to hear the preaching of your word. I pray that you bless it now. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray that you convict hearts. If there is anyone here who is unsaved, they've never repented and trusted Christ alone as their Savior. They've never cried out to you and received the gift of eternal life, Lord. They've never received the forgiveness of their sin. They've never been saved. I pray today would be the day they'd be saved. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to understand your word and just to rejoice in the wonderful blessings that you give us through your word, to believe it and obey it today. Please bless, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you would, just real quick, look back just one verse there at verse 29. And you'll remember we've learned about the faith that Abraham had, and we've learned about the faith that Isaac and Jacob had. We've learned about the faith of Joseph. Last week we talked about the faith of Moses. And in verse 29 it says, by faith they, the children of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And so when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were slaves there, they were dealt with harshly there, and they'd been there for a long time, and God raised up Moses to deliver the people, to bring them out of the land. And you'll remember how they came down to the Red Sea as God led them there. And they got to the Red Sea, and the mountains were on this side, the wilderness on the other side, and here comes Pharaoh and his chariots behind them. They had nowhere to go. And the people murmured against Moses. They cried out and said, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? If we're just going to die, we could have died there. What good is this? But Moses, a man of great faith, said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, he said, just hush up. God's going to show you something. Now, what's crazy about this is they'd just seen all the miracles that God had done, the signs and wonders that God had done in Egypt, and why they didn't think God could handle this, I don't know. But it kind of reminds me of us sometimes. We've seen all that God can do. I don't know why sometimes we come up against something, and when we can't see the easy way out, we just despair. You know, what are we going to do? Well, stand still and trust God. And so God sent a strong wind that blew all night long, and he divided the waters of the Red Sea. And the Bible says that the water stood up like a wall on either side of them. And I told you, you know, last week, it's kind of silly. People try to say, well, there wasn't much water. It was a dry season, and they just went through about 18 inches. I don't know about you, but I think of a wall as more than just like this much. It wasn't just puddles. It was the sea. And they passed through the midst, the middle of the sea on dry land. You say, well, that's impossible. Yeah, that's why it's called a miracle. And God can do things that are beyond natural means. He created the natural means, and he is above the natural means. And so they passed through on dry land, and then Pharaoh's army came through behind, and they were drowned in the midst of the sea. Somebody reminded me, I'd heard it before, but the little girl in school, her teacher was kind of ridiculing her a little bit because she said, well, you actually believe that that God split the waters and they went through on dry ground? And she said, yeah, I believe that. And the teacher said, no, it wasn't more than just a puddle. And he said, well, what a, and the little girl said, what a miracle that God could drown the armies of Pharaoh in a puddle. Amen. You know, there's you got to look at the whole thing and the way God works. And we ought to believe the word of God today. And we're going to learn about a man named Joshua a little bit today and a woman named Rahab today. And we're going to find out that these people believed God. And it's a very simple message today that we just need to believe God. And so when they passed through the Red Sea, you'll remember how they came up to the Jordan River and they were right on the precipice. They were right there ready to go into the promised land. And Moses had led the people that far. God had led them there. And so they sent spies over into the land. And when they came back, you'll remember 10 of the spies said, we can't go over there. And there's giants over there. And the cities are walled up to heaven, the Bible says. And there's no way we can do this. But there were two men who believed God and said, yeah, there's giants over there. Yes, the cities are walled up to heaven. And yes, all that's true. But if God has given us this land, God will give us this land. Amen. And so Joshua and Caleb believed God, but because of the evil report of the other 10 spies, the people despaired. They wouldn't go through by faith, and so began 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And so 40 years have passed, and God said, because this generation has seen all my signs and wonders, and yet they do not believe, all of those people from 20 years old and upward, they died in the wilderness, except for Moses and Joshua and Caleb. Now, Moses would die before they would cross over too. But Joshua and Caleb, they believed God. They trusted God. And so we come to this point 40 years later. So basically, when we're looking here in Hebrews 11, we get this great history going on. Between verse 29 and verse 30, 40 years have passed. And they come up to the Jordan. And we study in the book of Joshua how God brought them over. And again, God did a great wonder, because when they came up to the Jordan River and the priests took the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, and when the priests stepped into the river, the Bible says that the Jericho or the Jordan River stood up as an heap. In other words, when the priests stepped into the water, get this, the priests are carrying the Ark on their shoulders, and when they step into the water stops right where they are. And so the little bit of water goes on down, but this water that's coming down the river, it just keeps piling up. And so as long as the priests are standing in the middle of the river, the water just keeps piling up. The Bible says it piles up like a heap, and there's dry ground. And so the Israelites pass over on dry ground. And there may have been at this time as many as 2 million of them. I've always wondered how tired those priests must have been by the time everybody got through. Can you imagine? They're standing there holding that ark on their shoulder the whole time. I'd have been like, hurry up, people. Let's get a move on. And you think it's bad waiting on somebody to get out of their parking spot at Walmart. Nobody else has a problem with that? They see you coming and they slow down, don't they? So they pass through on dry ground and they come across and they lay up the stones as a memorial there. They take 12 stones out of the river, they stack them up. And the Lord says, listen, I want you to do this so that when your children go, what are these stones all about? What do these stones mean? That you can tell your children and your children's children that God brought us through on dry ground. Remember what God has done. By the way, it's important for us to remember what God has done in the past. Amen. To help us be faithful today. Amen. And so they come across. Well, if you look at the maps in the back of your Bible, you'll see that the Jordan River, where they cross there, they come right up to Jericho. And Jericho was a great city. It was a huge city. It was a well-defensed city. And they had to take out Jericho before they could move on. Jericho was like the gateway into the promised land, into the Canaanites' land. And if they didn't deal with Jericho, they would be in trouble later. And that makes sense, right? Just think about it from a military standpoint. And by the way, Joshua was a great military leader. He was a great military leader. He was an incredible general that God had raised up. Well, if you got Jericho here, and the Bible says that when Israel came over, they closed up the city and nobody went out, nobody came in. They just stayed inside because they were afraid and they felt safe behind the walls. But if you go on past Jericho and you don't deal with them, guess what? They'll come after you later. I want you guys with me. Do you know what happens when we don't deal with sin in our life today? And we just try to leave it there and we just go on. You know what? It'll come back to get you later. Amen. You got to deal with it. Amen. And so they had to deal with it. And so when they come and they're camped close to Jericho, we see how God begins to work. And I want you to hold your place here in Hebrews, but look at Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And if you can find Joshua chapter 5, find verse 13. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Well, how did all that happen? Well, we learn about that here in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, and it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And stop right there for just a second. I want you to know about the heart of faith. Because God had told Joshua repeatedly when Joshua took over for Moses. Moses led the people for all those years. Then God raised up Joshua to lead the people. And God told Joshua repeatedly, be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, but be of good courage. And over and over and over, God had said, I want you to be courageous. Be courageous. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. And Joshua was a great military leader, but he still had fear. He had these millions of Jews that he had to lead. He had these enemy nations that he had to lead them in battle against. And he had a little bit of trepidation about that. And that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? He had a lot on his shoulders. And God repeatedly told him to be of good courage. And Joshua listened to God. And Joshua had a great heart of courage, a great heart of boldness, because he believed God. So much courage, so much boldness, in fact, that when they came over against Jericho and he sees this man, and by the way, this is no ordinary man. He sees this man with his sword drawn. Joshua just goes up to him and says, whose side are you on? Now, Joshua had some boldness. Joshua had some courage. Joshua wasn't afraid to lead the people across the river. Joshua wasn't afraid to face Jericho. Joshua wasn't afraid to face all the Canaanites and the Amalekites and all the rest of them that they would face. He had great courage because he trusted God. Amen. I want to tell you today, friends, that if we don't trust God, we have no reason to have courage. Amen. But if we trust God, if we believe His word, we have every reason to have great courage. Whose side are you on? Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Look at verse 14. And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? We see not only the heart of faith, but we see the humility of faith. When this person says, I'm not for you, I'm not for your adversaries, I am captain of the Lord's army. And when he heard that, he fell down and worshiped. And he said, What saith my Lord unto his servant? I want you to pay close attention to verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let me tell you about this captain of the Lord's armies. When we study the Bible, we see these appearances of Jesus Christ before his birth in Bethlehem. People call him Theophanes or Christophanes. And many times when you're studying your Bible in the Old Testament and the angel of the Lord, it's all capitalized, L-O-R-D, the angel of the Lord appears and people worship that angel and the angel doesn't say, no, stop, get up, don't worship me. You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when any ordinary angel appears and people worship them, the angel says, no, stop, get up. I worship God too. But when it's an appearance of Christ, when it's appearance of the Lord himself, he accepts that worship. And if you're not even convinced by that, because Joshua fell down on his face and said, What do you say, Lord? What sayest thou to thy servant? In other words, he says, Here am I, Lord. Tell me what to do. And the angel didn't say, Get up. And if that's not enough to convince you, we see the angel says, Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Well, where have we seen that before? Well, Moses on the backside of the wilderness, he sees the bush that's on fire. It's burning, but it's not consumed. And he says, I got to check this out. And Moses goes over and he looks at the bush. And when he gets close to it, a voice comes out of the bush. A voice comes from the fire. And he tells Moses, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Who was that speaking to him that day? It was the Lord. You know what makes something holy, friends? Get this. The presence of God. Amen. Was that particular spot of dirt over there outside of Jericho, just because it was a special piece of dirt that made it holy? No. Because the Lord was there, it was holy. Amen. And Joshua, you see the humility of his faith. When the captain of the host of the Lord spoke to him and identified himself, he immediately fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Listen to me. When we come into the presence of God, we need to learn to worship. Amen. I know I've told you this many times, but I got to tell it again because I think it illustrates it so well. I told you about the fella that said he saw Jesus one day. He told his buddy, he said, I saw Jesus this morning. Really? It's like, well, what happened? He said, well, I was brushing my teeth and I looked in the mirror and Jesus was standing behind me. Really? Yeah. Yeah, he was right there. He said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I just kept on brushing my teeth. And his friend said, well, I got news for you, buddy. You didn't see Jesus. Amen. I don't think Jesus is appearing to people in mirrors these days, by the way. Amen. Just as that's a whole different sermon. But if Jesus did appear to you in any way, you're not just going to keep on doing whatever you were doing. You can't find an example in the Bible when somebody recognized God as God, they recognized Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ, and they just kept on doing what they were doing. Because if you see Jesus and you believe Jesus, you fall on your face in worship. Our God is a holy God. He is an awesome God, and you don't just keep on doing what you're doing when you meet Jesus. He changes your life. He breaks your heart. He humbles you because when you're in the presence of his holiness, it exposes your filthiness and you can't stand before him. Amen. Listen, when Isaiah saw God high and lifted up, he fell on his face. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. But people who come in close contact with Jesus, they say, "Depart from me, Lord. I am a wicked man. I'm a filthy man. Don't even look at me, Lord." Even when the Pharisee and the publican were praying at the temple, and the Pharisee's got his nose up in the air, looking down his nose at the publican, and the publican just beats his chest and says, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." And you know what the Bible says? He couldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. See, that's what happens when you come in the presence of the Lord. We don't come with our head up thinking we're something special and how good we are and thinking about how much better we are than everybody else. No, when you come into the presence of God, you fall on your face. He humbles us. And we are fools if we think we can come into His presence with haughtiness or pride. We only come into His presence with humility. It's an amazing thing that we can come into His presence at all, and only because of Jesus Christ and His payment for our sin can we come into His presence at all. And then we can come boldly. And by the way, anytime we come before God, it's with boldness. Listen, even kings of the earth, in the Old Testament, we read about them when they would want to come before the king. Many of the kings, they would have to raise the scepter or they would be killed just for coming into the king's presence. Like Esther. Esther said, "I can't go in there if I'm not invited. If I go in there and I'm not invited, I could be killed." And we just want to burst in the door with God like we're something special. The only thing special about us, friends, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe that's not the message you wanted to hear today, but I'm telling you, we ought to be humble before the Lord. I love verse 15, and I think it really does capture the essence of who Joshua was. The essence of why the walls fell down, the essence of why God was able to do so much in the life of Joshua. "Because the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." That just captures the life of Joshua. God said it, he did it. God said it, and he did it. Now here's our problem. Most of the time we don't hear what God says because we don't get in the Word. And then when we do get in the Word, we don't do what it says. And that's why we don't see walls falling down. That's why we don't have the victory that we should. So we see the heart of faith. We see the humility of faith. Now notice the hearing of faith where he did so. And look on to chapter 6. We need to hear the Word. In our text back in Hebrews 11, the Bible says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down." Well, how did it happen? In Joshua 6, verse 1, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." In other words, they had the big walls, they had the big gates. When Israel came over the river, they closed up the city, battened down the hatches, boarded up the doors. Nobody goes out, nobody comes in. They sealed up the city, getting ready for a siege, getting ready for an attack. And the verse 2 says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Now here's God's plan. God says, "Joshua, here's what I want you to do. The city's shut up. It's up on a hill. It's a great walled city." And historians tell us there was an outer wall, and then there was an inner wall, and it was all uphill. And you can imagine trying to go fight against a city, and you got to go uphill the whole way. Now, if you'd have been there in that day, you'd have said, "Joshua, okay, here's what we need to do. We need to dig tunnels. We need to tunnel under the wall." And somebody else would have said, "Okay, here's what we need to do. No, no, no. Digging tunnels, that's stupid. That's something Brian would do. That's dumb." What we need to do is go over the wall. What we need to do is everybody build ladders. And we'll get ladders and we'll sneak up there at night when they don't see us and we'll climb over the wall. And if it had been left up to the people, there would have been 100 different ideas. Amen. And maybe by man's standard, they would have been good ideas. But God says, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to build battering rams to knock down the gates. I don't want you to dig tunnels to go under the wall. I don't want you to build ladders to go over the wall. I'm going to take down the wall. Amen. There's a problem here. There's a wall in the way, so I'm going to knock it down. But I want you to trust me. And you're going to have to demonstrate that you trust me. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in this order. I want you to have the priest and the mighty men of valor. I want the priest to go on before with 7 priests in front of them blowing the trumpets. And I want the priest to come behind and the men of war to come behind. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around the city one time. I want you to say a word. I want you to do anything. Don't make any noise. Go around the city. I want you to come back to the camp. And the next day, I want you to go around the city one time, just like you did the day before. I want you to do that every day for 6 days. This is a weird plan. But I'm going to change it up because on the 7th day, I want you to do something completely different. I want you to go around the city 7 times. And when you get around it the 7th time, I want the priest to blow the trumpets or blow the horns. And when everybody hears the trumpet sounding, you can imagine they're strung out around the city by then, right? And when they blow the trumpet, I want everyone to shout with a great shout, and I will knock the wall down. And everybody can go straight up into the city. And if you'll read in your Bible, in Joshua chapter 6, verses 6 through verse 21, they did exactly what God said, exactly the way God said to do it. Amen. And when they shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Amen. And the people went straight up, every man right before him, up into the city. Amen. Did you know that God's ways are different than our ways? Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I want you to know this. If Israel had deviated from God's plan, many people in Israel would have died trying to take the city of Jericho. If there'd have been a tribe that said, "This is ridiculous. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. We're just going to march around the city? That's crazy. They're going to shoot arrows at us and throw rocks at us. We can't just march around the wall of the city." If one tribe had said, "We're going to do it different," then that tribe would have suffered great loss. And so many people are trying to make their own way to do God's will instead of just doing what God says. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it made any sense to Naaman? Remember when he comes to the man of God and he's got leprosy and before he even gets to him, he sends out a messenger and he says, "Listen, go down to the river and dip 7 times and you'll be clean." And how was Naaman's response? "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. This is ridiculous. I've wasted my time. I'm going home." And Naaman's servant said, "Listen, if the man of God had told you to do any such thing, you would have done it. So why not just do what he said?" And Naaman, with his leprous body, gets down into the water, and he gets down inside the river, and he dips down under the water. And he does it 7 times. And you know, nothing happened the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth time, or the sixth time. And you got to know that he was thinking, "This is so stupid. I look ridiculous. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life." And he goes down under the water, and when he comes up the 7th time, the Bible says that he was made clean. And his skin was like a newborn baby's. Why? Because he obeyed God. Amen. You see, there's a hearing of faith. And I told you the other night that hearing in the Bible is not just making, you perceive noise. Hearing in the Bible means listening with the intention of obeying. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear what God says with the intention of obeying the Word of God. Hear the Word and obey the Word. Now notice that in our text, the Bible says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, but then it has this key word. It says, after. After what? After they were compassed about 7 days, after the people obeyed God, after the people demonstrated their faith in God, God brought down the walls of the city. And they went up and they conquered the city. We have to obey the Word of God. Now, I want you to get this. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Romans 6, 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know what the Lord says? He says, listen, you used to be the servant of sin, but if you'll obey the doctrine of God, if you'll obey the Word of God, if you'll obey the gospel, you can be set free from sin and become the servant of righteousness. Well, what is that doctrine? There was only one way that Israel could conquer Jericho, and there is only one way that you and I can enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. There's only one way that a person can be saved. Now listen, you may not hear much else that I say today, but please hear this. There is so much confusion about what it takes to be saved. We got to share the gospel with somebody just yesterday, and it's almost like people around here are brainwashed. They believe that in order to be saved, I have to pray and ask for forgiveness, and then I have to start living better. You ever heard that before? Listen, I want you to hear me plainly. So many people, and maybe you've got this idea, if I want to get to heaven, I'm going to have to ask God to forgive me, but then I'm going to have to start living better. And by living better, by doing better, I'm going to earn my way into heaven. And they may not say it exactly like that, but that's what so many people believe. And I want you to understand this. Hear me plainly. That is a lie from the devil.
Amen.
People are working to get themselves into heaven, and they will work themselves straight into hell.
Amen.
Your good works will not save you.
Amen.
You can't possibly be good enough to earn your way into heaven.
Right.
The wages of sin is not better works. The wages of sin is death.
Amen.
There is a penalty for our sin. And if you don't know that you're a sinner, please let me help you today. How many of you have ever told a lie in your life? Can I see your hands if you've ever lied? I'm waiting to see if anybody wants to not raise their hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you know what you're doing? You're lying. We could go through all the commandments, and if you were honest today, you would have to admit you've broken every one of them.
Amen.
Have you always loved God with all your heart? Have you ever loved anything more than you love God?
Amen.
Ever loved or been devoted to anything more than God? Have you always been faithful to be in church every time without fail? Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? How many of you ever stolen something, taken something that didn't belong to you? Regardless of its value. I've met a couple of people who absolutely refuse to admit that they've stolen something. Never ever taken something that belonged to somebody else. I don't believe that.
Amen.
Or maybe a piece of gum or something. Well, that's stealing.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how much it cost. It was just a penny. Doesn't matter. And when we go through the law, you say, well, I've never committed adultery. Praise the Lord. Have you ever looked with lust? Because Jesus said, whosoever looks with lust is committed adultery in his heart.
Amen.
And I talk to people all the time. They say, yeah, I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and there's some neighborhoods around here, you don't believe that. But did you know that the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer in your heart?
Amen.
You ever hated anybody? I have.
Amen.
And we try to justify stuff. Yeah, but you don't know what they... doesn't matter.
Amen.
And what I'm trying to tell you is that we are all guilty before God. We are sinners.
Amen.
And the penalty for our sin is death. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says that unbelievers and whoremongers and adulterers and fornicators, it lists all these things, and it ends with this, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And friend, I'm trying to tell you today that because of our sin, we're condemned to the lake of fire.
Amen. Right.
And there is no way that you can do enough good works to overcome that. The Bible says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all.
Right.
And we are guilty before God. And maybe the worst of all sins, we have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we haven't believed, we are condemned already. And God has made a way for us to be saved. Just like God made a way for Jericho to be conquered, He made a way for us to have eternal life. And it's only by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me try to make this as plain as I possibly can. The whole world is full of sinners like me. And there's a penalty for that sin, and it is death. So God sent Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and Jesus paid for the sin of the whole world. We're all sinners. Jesus died for our sin. And the only way any of us get to go to heaven is if we repent of our sin and trust in the Savior. Turn away from your sin to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him with all your heart. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, have there ever been a moment in your life where you repented, where you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm asking you today, are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you received the gift of eternal life? Have your sins been forgiven by trusting in Christ alone? If you've never been saved, you can be saved today. But there's only one way. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Christ. He's the only Savior. And the only way we can be saved is His way. The only way Jericho could be conquered was God's way. The only way you can come to salvation is God's way. The only victory that's to be had is through our Lord Jesus Christ. After they were compassed about 7 days, then the walls fell down flat. Now very quickly, if you would, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now I'd encourage you to go back and study about this more later, but in Joshua, in chapter 1 and 2, we learn about this. When they got up there, Joshua did the wise thing militarily. He sent 2 spies to go over the river, and they went into Jericho and spied out the land. This was sometime before they marched around the city. But the spies go in, and they end up in the harlot Rahab's house. And while they're there, she hides them because the king hears that there's spies there. And so he sends servants, go get those spies of the Israelites. Well, when they come to Rahab's house, she hides them up on the roof. Now, Rahab lied, and it's not right to lie. God would have made a way, but she did lie. But that's just another way we can see God's grace, in my opinion.
Amen.
Because God's not a respecter of persons. She did the right thing in hiding them. She didn't do the right thing in lying. But she said, oh, well, they came here. That's true, but they're gone already. They went out, and if you hurry, you can catch them. She says, go that way. And they go. And so she hides them up in on the roof among the flax. And then she goes up and says this. We got to look at it. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. You got to look at this. I want you to see the faith of this person. Joshua chapter 2 verse 8. So she sends out the servants of the king. They're after them. And as soon as they're gone out, they shut the gate, and then she goes up. And in Joshua 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." That was 40 years ago when you came out of Egypt. "And you did it, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Listen to me. This is a harlot in Canaan. This woman is part of one of the most wicked nations to ever disgrace the face of the earth. The Canaanites were exceedingly wicked people. They did exceedingly wicked things of their worship of their ungodly false gods. They did horrible and terrible things, and she was part of that. Not only was she part of that society, but she herself was a harlot. And yet, when she heard about what the Lord of the God of the Israelites did, she believed. Amen. I want you to see, friends, God's grace. She said, I know the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She said, I hid you. And she said, when you come and you take over Jericho, I want you to remember me. I have dealt kindly with you, deal kindly with me. So the men said, our life for your life. If you'll keep our business secret, when we come, we'll save you alive. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to tie a scarlet thread in your window so that everyone who comes into your house will be saved when God gives us the city of Jericho. Well, does that remind you of anything? When they left Egypt, they took the blood of the lamb and they put it on the doorposts and on the lintels. And whoever was covered by the blood was saved. Now they take the scarlet thread, that red thread, and she ties it on the window. By the way, it was that red thread, that scarlet rope, that she let them down by the window. And they were saved by it. And then when they come, she's got the red hanging there, and she brings her dad and all of her family all together inside the house. And when the walls fall down, Rahab and everyone in her house is saved alive. Why? Let me help you out. Rahab didn't get saved because of her works. She got saved because of her faith. And because of her faith, it caused her to do a good thing in hiding the spies of Israel. You guys see it? People think they're going to do good works and it's going to get them into heaven. No, friend, if you'll believe in Christ, you'll get into heaven, and then you'll do good works because you're going to heaven. So what I'm trying to tell you today, friends, is that we need to put our faith in Christ alone. We're going to get ready for an invitation. And while they're coming, I want you to consider this. There are still Jordan rivers to cross. There are still Jericho walls to be brought down. And we're not going to conquer Canaan in our flesh. The only way we can conquer is by the Spirit of God. And the only way we get His power is by faith in Him. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the only way we can have eternal life is through the power of the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit only comes through faith in Christ. And for those of you who are saved and we face those walls, that there's no way we can tear down those walls. There's no way we can overcome. We do it by faith and we do it by obedience. The power of the Spirit is found on the path of obedience. Joshua believed, therefore he obeyed. And he got great victory. Friend, we are given the Word of God, and God gives us His instructions, and if we believe them and obey them, God will give us victory. Trust in Christ alone today. If you are saved, follow Him in baptism and serve Him in the church. But let's be obedient and trust in the Lord today. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number?
Page 573.
Number 573. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Listen to me. If you've never been saved, you can be saved today. Come and let us show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you have eternal life. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You need to follow the Lord in that obedience, His example He's given. Whatever He might be convicting you about, come right now while we sing.